3, 2, 1, go.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Abba.
Hey, Caitlin, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm having a really chill Sunday evening.
We're over here Sunday morning. I'm here with our special guest today, JJ. Yay! Oh, special. Welcome, JJ. JJ, JJ was my boss for the first 2 years that I was here. I know what it's like to be my boss and now a good friend. Well, we were friends when you were my boss too, but he was my boss. So we're here with JJ. We're gonna see where the conversation goes, but JJ has had a very interesting life and trajectory to becoming a lawyer, and he is a really, really, really freaking good lawyer where we live, and in general, like, he'd be a good lawyer anywhere. This is the only place I've seen him practice. So we're here to talk with JJ today.
So can I say something? I probably suck if I'm anywhere but Clovis.
No way. No way.
I feel like you're just good right there. No, I'm sure you're brilliant. Because
Thank you. I love it. Keep it going.
That's still JJ how amazing it is. No, I would love to hear. I'm really curious. So I don't know. Yeah, I guess earlier I was going to be like, what does it mean that JJ was your boss? What does JJ do? But you've talked about his career to being a lawyer. I'm curious about your journey to that. I'm curious around why Caitlin from super early on, when we were like, who would be interesting people to like bring on our podcast? And even then, even though there was the dynamic to figure out for like bringing her boss, and she's just like, but we should bring JJ. I'm glad it's worked out now. It's a bit of a while later, but why was that? What's your lawyer story?
Oh, so me? Okay. I wanted to be a lawyer when I was like a little boy. So if you would have asked me what I wanted to do when I was like 7 or 8, I probably wanted to be a marine biologist because I watched a lot of Jacques Cousteau. But it was like 8 or 9, I seen, it was Oliver North trial that was on TV all the time. So Oliver North was being impeached as part of the Iran-Contra affair back in like the 80s. It was a big deal. You know what I mean? It was on TV every day. And I saw these dudes that looked like important and they were making like important decisions. And I asked my dad like who they were and what they were doing and what all this was about. And he was like, well, they're all lawyers, son. Like most of them guys in Congress and Senate are lawyers and they're trained to like argue and do that stuff. And I was like, that sounds fucking cool. And like, remember the context of this conversation is being made in a fucking single wide trailer that we're renting from my uncle in a shitty little like oil town in Wyoming.
How many people are in this trailer house?
So at the time, and this is the craziest part, so my mom and dad were divorced, but like my dad would still stay with us half the time because we were so fucking poor. And my mom, and like, I think my mom like spent all the money all the time on drugs. That's the only thing that makes sense as an adult. But there would have been my mom, my dad, me and my little sister. And that was it.
Fascinating.
So that's just that was just what I wanted to be a lawyer. So then I got in trouble.
It's so interesting how it's like always like a lot of things, either what you're reading or what you see on TV, and you're just like, that person looks cool, but you actually stuck yours out. Because I remember my dad used to always say I should be a lawyer when I was a kid, but that's because I used to like to argue a lot. Yeah. I read a lot and I argued a lot, but then I heard how many years of school goes into it. And I was just like, I don't think, I think I can just argue with my people at home. Yeah. So how did you end up from there to actually, gosh. So I don't know. Caitlin, those ones we were talking about what we wanted to be when we were kids and they were all really random things. I think we all ended up in our careers a lot later.
Yeah. Yeah. And you, how old were you when you finished law school?
36.
Mm-hmm. Ah, so that was a little later too. Well, is that later?
Like, I thought that's the same as you. Like, who the fuck wants to go to school that long? Mm-hmm. I hated, like, elementary school was fine, but like once I got to middle school, and like the teachers were fucking dumb, and the kids were bullying you. Annoying. Yeah, and I don't like that shit. And I was always like, here's the thing: I've always been large. Like, even in middle school, I wasn't like the biggest kid, but I didn't get bullied much. I just didn't fucking like all the bullshit, like all the back and forth, like the boys do with each other to like fight. That's actually probably why all my friends almost are women. Like, I have a few dudes that I hang out with once in a while, but the whole, like, macho testosterone, let's fight and argue about everything stupid, it just doesn't appeal to me, which is weird because that's what I do for, like,
You're a liar.
It's my favorite thing in the world, really. But I don't like to do it when I'm not in it.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. I think that's like Caitlyn, the way it's like you live a super chill life, but when you're not, you do the most unchill thing that's available to do. In the it's like I'm too sweet to chill unless I'm working, and then you have to do the
Yeah, definitely. But like JJ also, well, JJ brings like a crazy energy to like the lawyer world, and is like a public defender, which we've kind of talked about this before, like, you're like a special person to be a public defender. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a little like, I don't know, what would you say, like rough?
Tell me why.
Edges?
What's a public defender and why is it a special person?
I mean, it's just such an insane job, you know? Like, it's, I mean, you're overworked, you're underpaid, and you're like doing it because you really want to do it because you like believe in the cause. So you have to be a little nuts, I think, to like want to do that. And you're like always on the fly. You're sometimes going to court with a case that you just got 2 seconds ago and you just are like making up arguments on the, I mean, like, it's just, yeah. And JJ was like so like good at that. Like, I mean, I feel like, and we have, okay, so I'll say this, like, as lawyers, we have very different styles of how we do things.
JJ's, what are your styles?
Well, JJ's style is like really just like loud and boisterous, and like I'm gonna like slam my hands on the table, and the clients love it. Like, he has like so much street cred. Like, I am not even close to having like the jail credibility that he has because he's just so nuts. And it's like super effective. Like,
it works.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. If I did that, it would be weird.
Can I describe yours?
Okay, yeah.
So Caitlin has this like whole, seems to be nice and sweet and lull you into this like, fuck, you're dead. Like, I got you. Like, what else are you going to do? And she'll give you that look like, I got you. Like,
oh,
what do you want to do?
Oh my gosh.
She really does. And that's what makes her so good, because she will lull you into that. She
it's
like
a trap.
Rolls. Yeah. She rolls the DAs like, into yeah. these traps. Like,
she's like, she's just like, mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Well, and all the time she's like gathering information and like little pieces, like different, like.
I love it.
It's beautiful.
I love it.
It's fun to watch. As a boss and a mentor and somebody that trains people, one of the things you have to always be like mindful of is not to put your style and your ideas onto somebody else, because like, she's not me, I'm not her, mm-hmm. you know, like sometimes we can copy other things, mm-hmm. like some of the stuff that she does, like I think she did like not necessarily learn from me, but she saw how I did it and then took it and made it her own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I think that's a really good line to always have to draw. That's a hectic thing, and especially when the work involves, it's life or death, I guess. You know, like when Caitlin has a work emergency related to the podcast, we meet, everything goes because someone has to be kept out of the system, and it's intense. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, you know, as a mentor and as maybe a guide to it's not early, early in your career or whatever, but like, you know, I can imagine there's an inclination to like try and guide a certain way that you know works well, even as she's like figuring out, paving mm-hmm. her own path that works best for her and her clients.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And with her, I never had to worry. I was just like, she's got it.
Tell it how it really was. I got my license and JJ was like, you got court in 10 minutes. See ya. Like, good luck. And I'm just like, baby lawyer being like, I'm going to just die in there. Like, so
did you
scary.
Really have court in 10 minutes?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was like, I got my license and JJ was like, you're good. Like, go on. And I did.
Now, so what's the dynamic? What's the dynamic of the work between the public defendant and the lawyers? Are you guys handling cases together? Is someone
so
like
we how, are the we are
you're
the
both
lawyers.
Public defendants.
We're public defenders. So
is this people who work in the service system? I don't know the term.
I mean,
yeah. So JJ has been a defendant. I don't know if you want to talk about that. Yeah. JJ has a very colorful life, and this is, I feel like, another reason why you're so good with our clients, is because like he was in the system.
I'm
like,
a criminal.
I wanted to ask how you ended up getting into the finalizing this at 36, like what your work was like before that.
Okay, so we could backtrack a little bit. That actually is kind of a good segue. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. part of like just being good with people is something that I've always had, right? And I didn't even realize it because I was kind of a shy kid and my mom was really outgoing and I'm from a small town. So everybody expected me to be like mom. And I kind of
can we just
like
hold
her.
A moment for like super charismatic parents and the pressure that puts on the kids, mm-hmm. where you're the luckiest kid in the town, but really it's just like you're never going to be as charming as that parent.
Yeah,
so it takes you like 30 years before you allow yourself to be your own mm-hmm. version of charming. Mm-hmm. Anyway, relatable.
Yeah, no, it sounds like your mother or father or both are the same way, and it's just like fuck. I would like to go to the local grocery store and just like buy milk and leave, but no, it's a 20 fucking minute, you know, entertaining seven people along the way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But that's how my life was. Mm-hmm. But see, my mom was also a drug addict, and so is my dad, and like uncles, grandpa drank too much. It's just, you know, part of the lifestyle for me. And I think I never liked school growing up, but I like to learn, I like to read. So I think that probably saved me when I finally did like go to college, because I'd still been reading, even though I was a criminal, even though I was like selling on a street corner, like sitting on a bench, like serving feeds. Like that was my job. So even though I did that, I still would like watch documentaries and read books and all that shit. So I dropped out. Well, I actually did the 10th grade three times.
You did three times? Right. Well, third time's a charm, right?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't pass
resilience,
the third time.
Nothing else was being built.
Mm-hmm.
So when this is gonna show you like just how much I always have just like spent all my time with girls. So in high school, I took a class, like a typing class, and it was like all girls. So I loved it. And that was the only class that I continued to go through and pass every year. So when I got to that,
low key, the men in your life were the ones distracting you, and you should have set them aside early on.
Yeah, exactly. Like fuck that. So I get to my senior year, and I'm taking like a business typing or computer class with all the girls, but like now it's incorporating math and shit that I haven't learned.
Oh my gosh!
So I finally like dropped out and I was like, fuck it. I can't do this. Like I can't keep going. And I just fucked off for years. I got a job in a drilling rig. I like roughnecked and like worked in the oil field for like 6 years. And that was great. Like I started off at 135 pounds wet, like 6 foot tall, just like skinny. And I gained like 40, 45 pounds of muscle. Oof. That first year. And I wasn't like, and I didn't get strong. I just didn't look like a bean bowl anymore.
So that was where, which state were you in where you were working on the oil rigs?
In Wyoming. So,
okay.
Yeah. So like 99, 2000, there was a huge oil boom in like Wyoming, Montana, Colorado, North Dakota, Montana. And like the rigs were essentially like 40, 50 miles down the road from my house.
Oh, so, nice. So you could still live at home?
Yeah, for the most part. But then here was a crazy thing. Like you worked for this one specific rig and it would move all the time. Sometimes it was in that area, but sometimes it was fucking Vernal, Utah, which is like, nobody wants to be, and it's worse than Rollins.
But for people that don't know, like, you make so much money on an oil rig.
Okay,
like, that's the thing.
I was listening to a podcast about being on oil rigs and how it's a intense situation for women / not ideal, but there's like a lot of money, but it also like kills you. But if you can stick it out for a certain amount of time, it's the way to clear college debt in like 2 years or something. But it's also awful. Why is it
dangerous too? I mean, it's so dangerous.
What happens in the rig?
The work. You gotta look up some YouTube videos of the kind of
work. I'm gonna do that now.
They're like these giant things spinning, and a chain is. What is that called when they like slap the chain around it? And
you throw a chain.
It's
that was my job.
It's so insane.
So what you do is there's like a pipe sticking out of the ground. And then there's another like string of pipe that you're going to put on and like tighten it into this pipe in the ground. So you take a chain that's hooked to a machine behind you. You wrap it 5 times around the chain, around the base of that pipe. And underneath the chain is like your tongs, which is essentially a giant wrench. So the chain's kind of like laying on the tongs wrapped around this bottom pipe. They bring the other pipe and put it on like to start to spin it.
Yeah.
And the driller pulls this lever that tightens the chain, and then you throw it and it spins to the top, and then you hold on while this pipe is spun by the chain in your hand.
And one small misstep, and there goes your arm.
Fingers so, mostly.
Yeah. So dangerous. Oh, are you frozen? Oh,
I'm no, not she's frozen. Not. I'm in
like
distress.
Your face was frozen.
No, just... I was just thinking about how I feel about intense manual labor. And that sounds scary and very intense.
It was so fun.
And also in Dope Sick, I remember I was watching this show, the opioid crisis. What is that family that, anyway, the billionaire family, pharma family. And just the number of people who got like hooked on opioids from working in the rigs, because you'd have such serious injuries that it's almost expected that at some point you'll get one. So did you get, I hope you didn't. But did you?
Meth.
That, yeah.
Because then you don't feel it. You're just fucking high. You don't sleep. You don't eat. You just work.
Oh, and that is gosh. Like super common too. Like when you're doing jobs where you have to work so hard physically and stay awake for a long period of times, like meth it is.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Delicious.
How can you be doing such precise heavy duty work if you're not
so fully, you can't like, the meth actually probably at first, at least when you're before you're coming down and like you're dope sick, you're very focused. It's like cocaine, right? You get wired, you know.
Yeah. And
like if you ever had pre-workout?
I was worried how that sentence was going to go. And I was like, JJ, I'm not trying to switch careers yet.
It feels great. I mean,
yes, I have had pre-workout. Oh yeah, where you feel like you're so sharp and alert, and it's like coffee plus energy and strength.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So that's what meth feels like. Yeah. This is not an ad for meth for him.
Meth makes America work.
I mean, and it's, well, here where we live, it's like pretty bad quality meth. Like, oh, JJ's no. always like, yeah, it's like real. Not that he knows from it here, but like, I mean, even we see pictures of it all the time. You know, it's like it's not the same.
What
it's
is pretty. The quality of meth like in Hillsdale? So our college where we went to school is like a meth town.
I don't know. I don't know at all there.
Mm. Was this West Virginia?
No, in Michigan. It was like a small town in
Caitlin,
Michigan.
Have you been hopping in like West Virginia, no. Hillsdale, I mean, Michigan, New Mexico, where you are?
I know, everywhere. No, I don't know. I don't know. But JJ always said like in Wyoming and stuff, it was like the meth was good. Oh. It was like really high quality.
Yeah.
And so in New Mexico, it's not.
It's not. Is it just because, like, is Wyoming, I don't know, is New Mexico wealth? Which is the wealthier state?
Ooh, probably Wyoming.
Yeah.
That's Wyoming makes, has yeah. very few people, so there's, like, lots of resources. We got coal, natural gas, oil, like, trucking, because we have Interstate 80 and 25. So it's a very rich state, and then there's like 500,000 people pulling on all the resources. So
sounds like a nice setup.
It is perfect. There was a point during the oil boom that they were talking about doing free healthcare for the entire state, like really
before like any other state was doing any even consider. Yeah. I mean, we still don't have that, but
that's amazing.
Yeah.
So how did you end up from the oil rig? What happened after 6 years on the oil rig? A little bit in math. Then what happened?
I got busted.
That's exactly what happened in the Dope Sick Show.
Yeah, I know. It's so cliche. So I had been selling for a long time. And then, really, I never considered myself like a worker. Like as a kid, I thought people that worked and had jobs are fucking suckers. They were like people that give me money, really. And like roughnecking was essentially a great way to meet new clients and like new dealers sometimes, because there was like guys out there that were cooking crank meth, and you know, you'd meet them. And yeah, so that, like, I did that and would buy meth, go to a rig, sell it, buy some more, go to a different rig, you know, and the cycle would start over. And then even if I didn't have money to buy meth, I could get a rig job, and that would start me. Yeah, that would start my next business venture, I guess, for lack of a better word.
The double shift, right? Your oil rigging and dealing.
Absolutely.
when did you end up getting busted?
2003.
In Wyoming, right?
Yeah. So you guys want to hear the busted story? It's actually great.
Yeah, I don't know if I have heard it.
Okay. So I was living in like the mother-in-law suite of my dealer's house.
This already sounds like a bad idea. Yeah. But this is already too close a shit show. Comfort.
Like, why are you in the mother-in-law of the dealer's house?
It's just
everyone needs to go to jail.
Yeah. Jail is good for me, honestly. But so I it was kind of nice. It was like about the size of like Caitlin's living room with like a bathroom attached. So I'm living in there, and there's another girl living with him who are both having sex.
Oh my.
It's the downfall. Of course.
What is going on? Why is this a situation?
Got me busted. So, well, the situation was just like, I mean, she liked me sometimes, and she liked him sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was great. I didn't care.
And I'm sure your boss did.
I mean, I don't think he did. Oh, I think he was fine with it. Ray, like, he knew.
So then, okay, so where did you get, where's the issue then?
So that, so that's just backstory, right? So she comes not
context. There's no issue.
Yeah, you gotta have the context, because like normally I would just tell people to get lost, or I just go get them their dope and get me a pinch and be good. But like, comes knocking, like asking me to go get her dope at like 8:30 in the morning, and she's got this chick Diane, who is a known snitch. Like, I know she's a snitch. And like, we've sold her dope before, and she comes every so often, and we just like deal with it. But this day, I just like, listen, the only reason I answered the door is because it was my and it was 8 o'clock in the morning, and I was a little horny. And I was like, all right, here we go. And then she wants dope, and I'm like, all right.
Most expensive, almost booty call.
Yeah, oh, yep, exactly, because I never got any that day. It was horrible. I never even got high. So eventually, like, I'm like, no, like, come on, you know. He's like on the way. He'll be here in a couple hours because he left the night before. Like, why are we gonna go get and dope? Fuck her. She don't even share. Like, half the time she'll come, buy dope, and leave, and they won't even get high with anybody or do anything or party or even like have a beer. Do you know?
Why
like,
were you guys letting her come hang out? You said you're 100% sure she's a snitch. She doesn't share. You sound irritated by her. Why is she in your house?
I didn't like her, and this like. It, like, the front house was not mine. I mean, and on some level, I'm like a stupid 22, 23-year-old dude, and there's two chicks coming and knocking on her and they want drugs. Like, well, maybe I'll get laid by like, both of them this morning. But
like, this is like, I can see all the parts where your thinking was wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like, also I'm coming down, right? So, like, yeah. So the biggest context of this is like, been like 2 or 3 days since I've actually got high. So I'm coming down, like trying to sleep. So I don't want to really get high. I'm waiting until my shipment comes in because I got good dope coming. And there's no reason for me not to like get some rest, get some food in my belly, get a good shower. You know,
so when
you
you're going
block.
Through being wired, you're not eating or sleeping really. And you would you go into cycles where you let yourself calm down and your body recovers and then you get back?
Absolutely. Like, that's how I live my life. So that I was on that down cycle and they just kept coming and knocking. My lawyer was actually a good public defender, and he was like, dude, you have a real entrapment defense. Like, this is rare. Like, this never happens. But by then we'd blow the timelines for entrapment. My first public defender was shit.
What is entrapment, guys?
It's when somebody fucking won't stop asking you to do a crime after you've told them over and over again. You don't want to do the crime.
There's a defense that's like, someone really, really kept begging me to commit this crime, and so I gave in.
Mm-hmm.
America, actually.
Yeah.
That is the land of the free.
I feel like I've only seen it. Yeah, I guess with CIs and cops, it's the big confidential enforcer, the snitch.
Oh, it's like almost like you're using snitches as a plant to drive crime, which is that not fair?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So JJ
public
got had. And, but you got a good, did you get a deferred sentence or something?
So I got one of those great sentences or great pleas that was so good that the judge was like,
trying to reject it.
I'm not fucking taking this.
What was it?
18 to 36 months, suspended sentence, essentially like a conditional discharge here, where it would be dismissed at the end.
Like, if you don't mess
would you
up
go
on
to jail?
Probation or anything?
Nope.
Wait,
you did
so
do some time.
Well, I did. I went to jail originally till I was arraigned, and then I was out on conditions of release until I pled.
And you never messed up on conditions of release?
No, I never messed up my CORs. I messed up probation, but not my conditions of release. So when I get to court, he's like, I'm not fucking taking this. You might, because it's a first offender status is what they called it in Wyoming. It's like, you are not a first offender, son. You have like...
You have a rap sheet.
Yeah. You just don't have a felony yet.
Yeah. So, wait, can I backtrack? What happened when, after the knocking, you then... sold her some dope and then they like
set it up. Oh yeah. So let me give you the full story. So finally I agree to go get this girl dope. So we go to the Section 8 apart complex where I have a buddy that is like the maintenance man selling meth. So now the whole time this woman has like a 2000s era cell phone just like holding it up. So that was like red flag.
That is such an obvious flag. Why is she holding her phone?
I kept asking her, like what recording the fuck you the whole time. Doing? So finally she dropped me off. I get her dope. I come back. She'd give me $100. And at the time, Caitlin's gonna flip. We were selling half grams for $100. Like that was going price.
Oh, so, my gosh.
What's the price now?
Right here, right now, in Clovis, I could probably get you an ounce for $200.
It's so cheap here.
Yeah.
Like, it's so cheap.
I mean, it probably half wouldn't have been that quality.
Half a gram for $100?
Yeah. But we had good crystal. Like, our meth was good. Like, $100 worth is going to fuck three or four people up for, like, 3 or 4 days.
Not an advertisement for meth in Wyoming, but
we sound like the issue all those people on Twitter had with Euphoria. It's like, why are you seducing all of the teenagers with all the meth?
Okay,
like a great idea to use after.
Yes, I have heard endless stories about meth from JJ, and I do not want to do meth.
Because as soon as you Google it, you see the terriblest idea.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Okay. So then from what there, happened
after you got released? Okay,
yeah. So from there, I get in, I give her drugs. Well, I don't give her drugs, but because I got them in my hand and I'm kind of like freaking out because I know she, like, something's going on. And I'm like, all right, I ain't giving you fucking drugs till you get me high. So we go round and around about this. She's going to share with me before I give her her bag for like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. And we're still in her car and I still have her bag. And it becomes clear that she ain't going to share. And I'm probably about ready to get busted because she's like starting to threaten me now with like her boyfriend and like all this shit. And like, I'm not scared of your fucking 50-year-old boyfriend. That's like, just because he used to be something in the 80s, it's 2003. Oh, I'm sure I can take it. So I finally throw her bag of dope at her and jump out of the car.
That's so funny because I anticipated you'd throw the dope outside the car.
No, I mean she wanted it. Like my fingerprints weren't gonna be on it anymore. That's for sure.
Oh my gosh!
But when I got my my paperwork, like my discovery packet, I confirmed that it was her. That they tried to black out her name with like black ink or whatever, and if you put it up to the light, you can rewrite through it.
It's, do people know, does the system of the court systems of the world know all those things are legible if you just, when you black out with black markers?
I know.
You can still read it.
No, do people they not are know? Dumb. No.
Now they just don't put names of snitches on reports at all. And you have to file stuff and try to fight it to get the names of who they are under like a, you
why
know,
would you be
a
fighting
due process
to get the name of
confrontation
a
clause. Because to prove like the validity of like, do they have a case? How do you know it's like a legitimate like tip off, you know, if you can't confront the person that's saying it?
It could be a mad ex-girlfriend or something that's just like lied about the whole thing or boyfriend or whatever.
Interesting.
So you want
to
know that.
Oh, that was a good lawyer to like get you out of jail for like essentially.
I got myself out of jail.
Jason's like,
Because I'm, I, okay.
Did so, you have a lawyer, lawyer? Your arraignment? Uh-uh.
Mm. When I finally got busted, I played crazy.
You did not. I hate when people do that. Oh my gosh. You tried to get be found incompetent?
No, no, no. I just acted nuts. I made him put me in like a special cell. I told him I was hearing shit and seeing shit. Like, I figured I was going to prison for a long time and I wanted drugs. I was going to get high. So I was trying to get Thorazine.
Could you sense it from when you knew there was something wrong happening during the bust? Is that why you were just like, just share? You're just like, I'm probably going to get into a lot of trouble. Let me just enjoy myself one last time.
Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh my god!
Yeah, can I tell you guys the best part of this story? Because this is the funniest part. So the girl, like on my paperwork, she said she gave me $225 of state buy money,
and so she pocketed it.
And she wait, hold on, I'm not done. She turned in 0.19 of a gram of meth.
No way.
So it looked like I was selling shy quarter grams for $225. Like, I'm a fucking G. Like, I sell. Like,
Daisy, the city girls were up. Daisy was like, I'm going to get my drugs. I'm going to get some money for this. I'm going to get protection from the police.
Yeah.
Everything.
What? Yeah. Not 225.
Oh my gosh.
She's not even scared of getting
fired.
It's crazy.
All right. I got one more thing to tell you about this. So how do you move from that to being the defendant? Yeah. So I'll get there. Because this is very important, dude. After I got busted and pled and didn't snitch, like 2 weeks later, somebody hands me a fucking quarter pound of meth. Like, here you go. Go sell this. Like, we know you're not a snitch.
Mm-hmm. You get so much more like jail cred if you if you like, don't snitch.
And then they trust
jail cred so much. Wait, but you aren't in jail.
Well, he was initially, and then when he got out, and he didn't snitch or anything to get a better deal. And so then everyone was like,
"So
oh,
was
yeah,
your
we
business
trust
like
you.
Better than ever? Like the enterprise just like doubled."
Absolutely. The quality of dealer that wanted to fuck with me went up too.
Oh, yesterday's price was not today's price. So how was that?
Absolutely.
How was the next phase of the super high quality meth dealing?
I mean, that's when I started to go downhill. That's when I became addicted. I couldn't keep up. Like, I'm smoking 7 grams in a bathroom at a rig during an 8-hour tower and making myself
grams?
Sick.
7 grams?
Yeah, oh dude. My gosh. I OD'd on the rig once.
So like a gram is like, the way I think of it is like a sugar packet amount. Mm-hmm. Like a sugar packet is, that's
7
like
grams
about
at one
the closest
go?
Thing to a gram.
Well, not in one go. So.
No, like in one day?
Yeah, I was tired. That's I couldn't insane. Wake up. It had been like 4 or 5 days. So I just kept like, at first I was just going to smoke like a rock out of one of these grams. And it just like cascaded.
So what's the cost of using at that level
bag.
As well?
Oh my gosh.
How could you afford that as well though?
Well, I mean, I
it's 100 for, that's like you've just smoked up like almost $1,000 in one day.
Yeah. It's because so gram ratio to ounce, right? Like there's like 27, 28 grams per ounce, depending on how you cut it. And I had just bought that ounce for like $800-$900. So I still had enough to recoup. I just didn't.
So did you survive that day?
yeah, barely. The big boss catches me like up against a machine that's cold, like you would if you were drunk.
Yeah,
sick, just like sleeping, like puking, just like
because
I was sick. Yeah.
Dope. Did they let you go?
No. Oh hell no! I came to the next day.
So the system in the rigs is also just like, we need strong people willing to do this. So it's like, whatever. As long as you show up. You oh, that's hectic.
Yeah.
Crazy. So now you understand how JJ relates so well to our clients, because he's like, I feel like he's always
he's
like,
probably speaking exactly like, their language.
Exactly.
So then, but you didn't have a high school degree.
What?
You didn't graduate high school, right?
No.
And all this time, and these years are passing by, and you're in the rig system, you're not doing any form of education.
No, I'm still reading. I'm still like, just like devouring information as it comes.
Yeah, you're like self-teaching in just different disciplines, but not in like a school system of any kind.
No, but I really think that those years were formative to my ability to connect with people and to like read people. Because there's nothing as like necessary as far as a read when you're buying dope from somebody you don't fucking know in a town you've never been, you know? Because like you can die or get robbed at any moment.
How is your instinct supposed to tell you that someone is safe in a strange place you've never been and you're meeting them for the first time buying drugs?
Yeah, you just, you have to go with your gut. We've been robbed. I was with these one idiots that got robbed for a bunch of money trying to buy coke from some dude at like a Section 8 apartment complex in downtown Denver. I was like, what the fuck are we doing here? This is stupid. We just got a bunch of meth. Like, if you want, like, if you guys just want to buy coke to get high, give me $100. I'll go walk down the street. I'll find like somebody like just like pushing and we'll get us a couple bags. If that's all you want. But don't try and go buy a half a key from some rando. That's stupid. I would have never done it.
And then you all got robbed.
Yeah, they did. I was in the back seat with this guy with his gun, just like looking at these guys like, what are you going to do? I got your money. Fuck you. And I was like, he's only like 5'5", 5'6". And I probably could have just taken that gun from him, beat his ass, and got
that
a money
like,
bag.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I feel that's like what I was thinking the whole time. Like, that's how I was thinking the whole time. Like, just take this fucking guy's gun. He's an idiot. Like, because he doesn't even holding it right. He's holding it like this. I was like, okay.
Do you know the security videos that they show on social media where it's like, if you get caught by like an armed robbery in your car, just like put your chair back.
Don't work. And it's
all like, even if he doesn't know how to hold it, he's going to misfire.
Yeah, he probably would have shot the dude in front. Like somebody would have been getting shot. It wasn't going to be me. But I like went through that in my brain as it was going down. I was like, it ain't worth it. Like, really, you're right. Like, yeah, like macho me is like trying to be like awesome in front of you girls right now. But it's like, no, like smart me and actual logical me at the time realized that that was not going to be a good idea. It was not going to go down. I might have ended up dying. But it wasn't worth it. Yeah. Well, it wasn't even my money. So it wasn't going to be worth it to me. And I wasn't losing shit. I went there with like $800 of somebody else's money.
I love it. So I did not know you can have a what is it? Is it like a record?
A felony.
Yeah. And then be a lawyer?
Yeah. So
don't you need to have
it? It wasn't easy. Like, you have to go through so much more stuff. I mean, they make it nearly impossible.
So like what else to get into law school, I had to like put all this stuff down, explain all this shit before I even started applying. I actually applied for a pardon with the governor and I got the sentencing judge to write me a letter of recommendation.
But they didn't pardon you yet, right? You're still on that wait list.
I have a partial pardon. What they did was they gave me rights back so I can run for office and vote. But I can't own guns still. So I did this stuff in preparation for law school. And then I worked in like mental health for like 7 years. So I'd met people and like done decent stuff and wasn't still selling dope on a drilling rig. I'd been clean for like
What is the basis for requesting the pardon? What did you say? Is it just like all this stuff happened when you're so young and you were born in extenuating circumstances? Like, how do they even decide who to pardon? Is it just luck?
I think
so. Does the story matter?
Well, and Wyoming probably doesn't have a ton of people on their list like other states, you know? Like,
well, and they still do that thing, the gatekeeping thing, where if you know somebody, you're going to get through faster. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't. But I did have the sentencing judge, and I think that probably helped.
Oh, like, I'm sure.
The guy that said, like, you are not a first offender, son, wrote a letter for me. Like, he saw me adopt my daughters. Mm-hmm. He saw me get better. Like, I lived in a small community, so people saw me get better. You know, my probation officer wrote a letter for me, too.
Really?
Yeah.
That's after you nice. Also, you, what is it when you broke probation, though? I remember you saying that earlier. Oh, you okay, want everybody so, back in the end. How did that happen?
So the probation thing, they caught me violating at a crack house with a bunch of other people violating. The girl that I was with that had just brought me back to her house, because we'd been sleeping together and kind of like living together for a bit. And then, I don't know, I got mad at her, like, I don't even remember it was four. I think I thought she was cheating on me, even though we weren't really together. So I just kind of left. I was like, okay. Because I didn't care. I thought she was lying about it. I was like, if you're sleeping with somebody else, cool. But like, don't not tell me, you know?
Yeah. Were you really cool about it?
I definitely was. Like, the
how complicated was, ethical that somebody that else kept
telling me that.
Like, so other, you got it from the weird down the street.
Yeah, which ended up being a lie. She was like, he just really wants to fuck me, and he tells everybody that I'm fucking him, and I swear to God I'm not. I was like, all right. Like, I believed her, like, later, because I've talked to her, like, years later. She's like, no, dude, I was never banging Chris. It's like, oh, I knew he was full of shit. I knew he was full of shit because he was always one of them like liar kids that would always like tell you some like wild story about how he was so awesome. And
oh my god,
I kind of was like, there's no way Chris is stealing my girl.
Oh my gosh! But then, why did probation just stop up at the? Was it a random visit?
Yeah,
at
her house, because she was on probation too.
Oh my gosh! You're not supposed to hang out with anyone else that's on probation.
Yeah, but this is actually a great story too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Have I not told?
No,
you
I don't this? Think I know this one.
Okay, so they're banging on the door, and I am in the bathroom. Taking a shit, like meth shits. I haven't pooped in a while, and it's just like the world is falling out of my guts. It's just like, and it smells horrible. Oh, and God. I'm like, my pants are down. I am on the toilet.
You're
and
in your most vulnerable position absolutely. For this bust.
Absolutely. Now, she had just given me a bag, like a free bag. Like, here, you can have a quarter gram or a half gram, like, I love you.
Oh, she was sweet.
I took the bag because they're banging on the door. And Jesus. I dumped it out. And then I took the little bag and I lifted up the turds and I put it underneath.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to throw up.
I had to.
Yeah, like the things that you do in your desperation, right?
Yeah.
Like... So, oh my gosh.
And they're like, we're going to break the door down. Yep. So I'm like, okay, I'm naked. I'm really taking a shit. So I walk up to the door with like my pants in my hand and I open the door and I'm like, look, I really am taking a shit. Like, y'all can come in here. Do you want to look? They come in. They actually look. And they see, like, oh, okay, just keep this door. Hurry up and finish. It's like, all right, I was almost done before y'all started banging on the door. And they're like, don't flush. It's like, okay. So I finish up, I wash my hands. I'm like, can I wash my hands? And they come in, they wash my hands, and they flush the toilet. And I'm just
Does the
looking.
Bag come up?
No. Oh, I can't fucking believe it. The
that was
bag
heavy duty
goes. Yep. It was magical.
Oh my god.
Strong.
Sick.
Yep. Yep. So I
so
just
why did
went
you end
to jail
up in
for
trouble?
Violating. Because I had
association? Was it the association?
No, I hadn't checked in for months.
You're so lucky they didn't revoke you. We know how that goes. Oh my gosh.
How old were you then? Oh my gosh.
25? Yeah.
You're still a baby after all that time?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and I had lived this like elaborate, like,
so much
drug dealer, like. I was a family man for like a year or two with Shanti's mom and her older sisters. Because I tried to like step back and like not be a drug dealer.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually what it took to get me straight. Like I showed up for my hearing and I pled guilty. Like I pled straight up.
Probation violation?
And you didn't get a lawyer at those. And I just figured I was going to get a slap on the wrist. It was like, it was December 11th. The day before, me and my brother-in-law went to the lake, drank a case of Coronas, like half a bottle of Jose Cuervo, smoked
gosh.
A bunch of weed, and like ice fished. And I was so sick. Like, I showed up, I had like this green and gold shirt that was just beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. It was like my favorite, like nice shirt. And I was like the same color of this shirt.
Oh no.
Green and gold.
Yep. So the judge like jail.
You got a
sentence. You went to jail when you broke probation?
I got a month in jail till I got sentenced.
For how long?
So I get to sentencing and I'm like, I'm ready to go to rehab. My little sister, my family just stepped up. They were late. They got me into rehabs. They got me into that place when you're withdrawing?
A detox center.
Detox center. Mm-hmm. So there was a detox center on the Indian Res and I went there for like the first couple weeks, which was definitely like a God thing for me because I'm sleeping on the floor because you have to earn your bed at the detox center. So sleeping on this floor. It's a heated floor with the dudes that are drinking Lysol. Like, and these guys aren't that much older than me. You know what I mean? Like they're like 5, 6, 7 years older than me and they look like they're 50.
No.
You know, they look bad. And it was like and I have some native blood in me and like we looked identical. Do you know what I'm saying? And I was like, oh dude, this is gonna be me. Like I'm gonna be drinking Lysol and just like fucked up.
Drink Lysol.
Yeah dude.
Yeah,
so that was it. Like, it took me a few little things during, like, rehab and, like, detox. It was like, I'm good. I ain't doing this no more.
You just got tired of it?
I just didn't want to look like that. I don't know. I'm vain. So I did not want to end up like that.
Yeah.
Kaylin's laughing because she knows how true it is.
He's vain. But now you're how many years sober now? It's
17.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Yeah. Now I started smoking weed this last year, which has kind of been like its own bottle of worms. Like it's been a little bit like sometimes I feel like I shouldn't be and that I feel like an addict. And then other times it's like, okay, like you're not coming to this as a 19-year-old kid trying to like smoke blunts with the homies, you know, like you want to smoke a joint to help you relax after you just like worked 17 hours. It's like, okay, that's probably not horrible as long as you're not doing it every day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear.
But still, I consider myself sober because I haven't, like, I'm not on meth. I don't drink still. I never really
I was going to say, alcohol. Do you drink?
Mm-mm. I just don't like alcohol. I never liked that feeling. And when I feel like that, I think I've told Caitlin this, that's when I want to do meth because it'll take that feeling away and I'll feel like me again, like wired.
The real you.
Yeah.
JJ in his essence. Mm.
I love that. There's so many other things to like. I'm like, I feel like this should have been a this is the overarching episode, and it's like
one of 10 episodes. I know JJ's life is just wild, and now he's like a really, really good lawyer. So
thanks, bro.
Amazing lawyer who's been like your excellent guide and showed you the ropes, and now you're like the biggest badass in New Mexico. I love it.
I'll tell you, JJ sat with me on my first felony trial. This is like my favorite story because I was so mad at you. But like, so I wasn't, but I was also just like JJ, me and JJ. But I had this felony trial of my client was charged with possession of meth and then tampering with evidence. And my whole theory was like, it's not his, like it's not his meth. And I played like 30 minutes of the backseat cam of the police car showing him like not moving, not taking anything off of him. You know, he's cuffed and he's not moving and stuff. And then JJ for the case. So my whole theory was like, not his meth, whatever. And I was so nervous being my first felony trial. And then JJ was going to cross-examine the drug analyst, like the expert, you know, that who tests it. And I remember, like, if I was gonna, if I would have questioned him, I would have been like, oh, I don't have any questions because I don't care if it's meth. But then JJ gets up there just to be like JJ and he's like, did you do this? And we weren't the person that tested it and all this stuff and crazy stuff. And it's just hands are everywhere. Just like, it's like a 180 from like my style. And I remember like, I worked so hard and my client, I had given him like a notebook to like take notes and stuff. And JJ's just being all crazy. And my client's over there writing, damn, JJ's so good on his notepad. And I'm like, that wasn't even my theory. Like, that wasn't even more. And like, I was like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? And anyway, we won the trial and it was like so exciting. But I remember I was like trying to look over at him being like, what are you doing? Like, this isn't so.
And I told her though, I was like, listen, you sure you want me to do something?
But like, I mean, it was like so funny and hilarious, but just like the contrast of like JJ's style and me and like the clients, they love that because he's so like, I'm fighting. And you know, it's such a good like court demeanor and our clients love it. But it was just, I was just like, what are you doing?
Can I say, okay, listen, I think the thing that Caitlin doesn't get is that her style and what she did won the trial. What I did kept the client happy and probably convinced like one of the weirdos on the jury that just like needed to hear that they don't fucking know what they're doing, right? Like, because my whole thing was like, look, you have this chain of custody problem anyway. Like, there was other problems with the case besides that. And they're like, if we were going to lose, we were going to make some case law. And I was making sure of that. Like, we were going to the Supreme Court with her first case. I was promising that.
There was at least a good legal issue.
Yeah. No, it was like, it was awesome because the client was like so happy. And I think like with me, a lot of times they like think maybe I'm not doing as much because like I'm telling the story to
see more energy and more. Yes. And you're just like, I'm just trying to make sure.
Which is why I feel like we like complimented each other very well because JJ brought that part. And then I'm talking to the jurors and like my sweet, like I kept saying,
you sound like the perfect TV lawyer duo.
Yeah.
No, it was so, yeah, we had a lot of fun. Always crazy stuff. That. Yeah. And now JJ's a fancy private attorney, so he's like making big bucks now.
You said enough of saving the public. It's time to save myself.
I'm helping the apartments evict poor people. I'm really good.
I mean,
it's
like, I know.
Look at her face. She's like, fuck you now. Jeez. I liked you for a bit. I thought you were a good guy.
Is that enough good? Is that
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
You get I charge them $250 an hour. So if they really want to evict poor people and pay me $5,000 for their $1,000 that they owe,
crazy.
But, I say rake it in.
He's making the money now. So yeah, so we have fun. We'll have to do another episode of a JJ life story episode.
A JJ life story. And I think it would also be like cool to do an episode on like a separate like substance episode, kind of more focus on that, on a lot of different perspectives, including yours, led by yours.
I know JJ is like the meth expert. Any meth questions I ever have, like when I have a case, I'm always like going straight to JJ. Like he knows.
It would be good to like, let's like go into some documentaries and like go really deep into like. This was so fascinating. I feel like I just came here and I was like, this is going to be interesting whichever way it goes. And I'm really excited to see where it goes. And I'm sorry, lad, half the time I was just sitting here with my mouth hanging open.
I know, we thought you were frozen.
I'm like, what are you even talking about? I haven't blinked in 10 seconds. Yes, I'm on the edge of the floor since I'm not on my seat today.
I always say, like, you can't describe JJ. You just have to, like, experience him, you know? Like, there's no way to describe. I feel like people need to, like, see you in action, too. If we could have, like, a clip of JJ in the courtroom, that would be ideal because it doesn't, like, JJ's, like, he's a monster in the courtroom.
I love it. I wish there was a clip.
We can do the link sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I feel like we got to get like a recording from one of your like wild motion hearings or something when he's like.
They exist online somewhere.
Yeah. West was good. Like, I was great at that trial. I can't believe I lost. Like, I was just so perfect. Like,
it was like
every question. Like, you could hear a fucking pin drop half the time. I'd ask a question and it was like.
It's also like such an exhilarating feeling to have like that mic drop moment in like a trial when you're questioning someone. Like I asked an officer on the stand what reasonable suspicion was like a few months ago. Crickets. Like he couldn't say, and like that's your job. Like that's why you stop people. And it was just like such a. And then I was like, no further questions. And then I just mic drop and hug it.
What face do you make when you have no further questions, but you know you've sunk them?
It's just like such a like look in the sky.
Like, thank you.
Disappointed in the system.
Fun job.
Before
I'm so proud of you.
What does JJ stand for again?
I love that. It's like this makes me want to, like, I get like teary thinking about how badass she's become.
Oh, I love that. JJ, I was asking what your name stands for.
Jeremiah
James.
Tell
the people who JJ is.
Jeremiah James. My grandma was the one who started calling me JJ and then hated it forever after that. Because there was a JJ on Good Times, right? Like Kid Dynamite.
I don't know.
You guys are that young, huh? You gotta go watch Good Times.
I watched Good Times.
All right. The tall, skinny kid. It was JJ.
I don't remember anything in it, but I did watch. I remember that was.
If you go back and watch it on YouTube, you'll see, like, that's kind of my character.
You turned into a Jeremiah Jones. Jeremiah Jones? Yeah.
Well, it's Jeremiah James.
And then
I'm named after Jeremiah Johnson. So Jeremiah Johnson was this famous mountain man who, like, discovered stuff, lived in, like, Wyoming and Montana and, like, Colorado and Utah, just, like, screwed around in the area where I'm from. He was from, like, back east or some shit, too. And Robert Redford starred him in this movie in like 76, 77. Oh,
yeah.
And it's my dad's favorite movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we need to have like a Tom Waits outro. George, please.
Rhiannon. We should play Rhiannon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
You can sing your own outro. Yeah. We'll add it in.
You guys are fun. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for coming, JJ. Has been a long time in the making.
Anytime.
So, yeah.
And this was really great. And we literally, I mean, I know we talk about how our production is not really production, but I feel like this is the most like, cool, let's just start talking. And it was great.
We don't plan, but the conversations just go, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, anyway, I want to hear more of your life stories, but we'll have to do that another time. But this is so amazing. I feel like I'm going to get off of this call and like go on so many rabbit holes online right now. I'm like just shut to even right now because I want to go on Google. Yes. So many things to research, but how amazing. Yay. So good to meet you, JJ.
I hope we get to chat again. Hell yeah.
Yeah. All right, Alba. Well, we'll go ahead and stop the recording. And until next time.
Have a good Sunday, guys.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. You can stream all our episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your favorite podcast. If you enjoy the show, please give us a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple Podcast, as this helps our show grow. Follow us on Instagram @InOurOwnTimePod.